Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Pei Dalid. We find ourselves in the middle of a rather lengthy Agadic section of Gemara that we started in our previous shiur and will continue Emir Tzashem beyond today's shiur. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading / mivne, structural note, where we see written tiurim, descriptions, shel chachomim, shayubale meimadim gufanim. Descriptions of great Torah personalities that had very large physical dimensions. We referred to morbidly obese in the previous year with reference to Reb Elozer Reb Shimon based on what Rashi said. We will continue in our opening section of Gemara featuring Torah scholars that happen to have been very large in physical size. When you study the Gemara and even take a look at a comment made by the Tosfos along the way, it's hard to deny that we're dealing with something that's of a very, say, real, actual nature. However, one cannot help but think that since the Gemara is dwelling on this topic, that there is another level of understanding that one may discover if you, in fact, research this Agadic section further in the realm of maybe the mystical, the hidden area of Torah study, so that even though it appears that we're going to see descriptions and dimensions, statistics that seem to dwell on a very physical aspect of these people, the names that we'll see featured, nevertheless, there might very well be, as I said, an additional level of understanding. The diamonds that will appear a little bit later, a few lines down from here, highlight the names, Shmoiseim Shilkama Rabbonim Shoyukach, names of a number of different great rabbis that were very obese. The Gemara. Kihavu Mikli Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon Behadi Hadodi. When these two rabbinic figures, now Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon, we highlighted in our previous shiur, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, he appeared at the very end of our previous shiur. Two great Tanoim who also happened to have been held government positions. In a police capacity, inspectors, if you will, designated to catch and subdue thieves. So these two figures, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elozer Shimon, when they met up with one another, that's kihavu mikli, when they would come upon one another, havu ayil bakro deturi binayhu velo. Have Nogabuhu. Here we're going to offer a literal translation, but in this case, it's probably a Gemara that should not be understood in a literal fashion. But the literal translation is that when they would meet up with one another, let's say they were facing one another, their bellies were exceptionally large, so large that a bakro deturi, it means a pair of oxen could walk between them, underneath their bellies, and not even touch them. That's v'lohave noga behu. And Rashi says on the second line from the top, binayu bein shneya mitachas kreson, walking between these two rabbis under their kreson, under their bellies, and the Gemara says and not the oxen wouldn't even touch them mitoch shekreson gadol, because of the large size. Now we continue in the Gemara. Omra lehu hahu matrunisa. Matrunisa is a heathen woman of rank, a high level official, and she said to them, "Benechem einom shelachem, your children could not possibly have been born from you." In other words, you, being of the dimensions that you are, could not have possibly have engaged in intimacy with your spouses, and hence you couldn't have possibly been the ones to impregnate them. So she concludes that those that you claim to be your children aren't your children. Omru la. So the rabbis responded to her, she lohen gadol mishelanu. Shelahen means it's a feminine feminine gender. Theirs, meaning their wife, their own wives, are larger than their own. Now, what is this a reference to? So, Rashi, in his first of two comments, mentions that kresom shana shasena godo mishana, their bellies, our wives' bellies, are larger than ours. Rashi has a second comment, a second explanation on the third narrow line. Loshen acher shelahen gadol. Taiva shel isha meruba mishalish. Their desire for intimacy is greater than ours. And being that they had a great desire for intimacy, so they were able to actually achieve intimacy, and hence impregnation, and our children are our children. The woman, this matrunisa, when the rabbi said that theirs is greater than ours, so she says, well then kol shekein, this kol shekein all the more so. So we have two explanations in Rashi. According to the first explanation, then she was, this matrunisa was responding to them, if their bellies are larger than yours, then all the more so your children are not yours. According to the second pshat in Rashi, when she says kol shekein, so Rashi says kol shekein shetavosa meruba v'einchem nizkokim lehem v'nivolus lacherim. As a result of what you're saying, that their desire for interest in me is even greater than your own, so they probably are having intimacy with other men, and hence your children are certainly not your children. Do they respond to her? Well, Ika diamri, some say hachi amru la ki keish gevuraso. Ika diamri, others say hachi amru la ahava dechekes es abosar. The first approach, they said to the matrunisa, to this Gentile woman official, ki keish gevuraso. Rashi says that's a reference to Eber Tashmish, the male organ of reproduction, has its strength, and have no fear, our children are our children. The second pshat in the Gemara, the Ikod Yamri, is that love pushes aside flesh, so that because of their great desire, because of our wives' great desire, which is even greater than our own, it enables intimacy to transpire, pushing aside the flesh problem. The Gemara asks, "V'loma lehu lahaduri law? Why was it necessary for these rabbis to even answer her? V'hoksiv, does it not say Altan Ksil Kivalto, which without a literal translation basically says, the Pasuk says, don't answer the fool. And from the Gemara you get the sense that this Matronisa was antagonistic toward the rabbis. She was not up to any good. So was it really necessary for them to answer her? So the Gemara answers, Shelo lahotzi laz al b'nehem. The necessity was simply to prevent ill speech, wrongful condemnation of their children. The insinuation that the children were illegitimate, having been born or being fathered by others, that insinuation needed to be dispelled, and hence the rabbis answered her. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Evorei de Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, and here we have the diamonds we referred to before, highlighting the different rabbis who were of large dimension. The Evorei, the limbs of Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Kechemas Bas Teisha Kavin, were like, Chemas is a receptacle type of jug or barrel that was 9 kav in size. These are figures and numbers that we'll just have to assume, because we don't use these dimensions today. We'll just assume in the context of the Gemara that we're describing vessels that were rather large. So a chemas bas teisha kavin is the description of something, in this case of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, as being very large. Amar of Papa, Evorei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was just speaking about Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. He himself, Rav Papa says, was kechemas bas chameshes kavin. The Amri law, another version, bas shloishes kavin. The Rav Papa Gufei, Rav Papa himself, who was just describing Rabbi Yochanan, was ki dekuri de harpanoi. He was like the baskets that are made in harpanya. Again, let us assume that this is a rather large vessel, and hence part of the series of large individuals. Now, we mentioned before in our introductory remarks that there is most likely another level of understanding, especially when you get numbers in this type of sequential fashion, 9 and then 5 and then possibly 3. Another level of understanding is probably available. But we're going to continue with a straightforward or the superficial presentation, as is characteristic of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim. However, it's worth noting the Tosfos at the top, who comments, I think, in the spirit of the Gemara that we just saw. Here, Tosfos comments on Rabbi Yochanan, top Tosfos, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Evorei de Rishmael, Elu Dvorim Nichtavu, these things are written here in the Gemara, Shelo Lahotzi Laz Al Bnei Adam Shehem Kach, so that one should not disseminate ill repute concerning children of people that are very large in size, so that they're in the population. You have people that are rather obese, and one might think that how can a person like that possibly be a parent, whether it's a man fathering a child or a woman being impregnated by her husband after being of such great dimension. So that the Gemara is reporting here that one should dispel thoughts like that right at the outset. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ano Ishtairi Mishapire Yerushalayim. I remain, I'm a descendant of, and one of the few that remain, or the only one that remains from the beautiful ones of Jerusalem. Rabbi Yochanan, just to put things in a somewhat historical perspective, Rabbi Yochanan lived approximately 150 years after the destruction of the base of the second Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of Jerusalem. So he's mentioning that I remain, and you'll see from the Gemara that he was a very attractive, a very handsome individual. And again, we're presenting the Gemara on a very straightforward translation or superficial level to conform to the words of the Gemara. But here, as we've mentioned before, there is another level of understanding. The Marshal in Maseches Brochas Daf Hei Amud Beis ties this idea of I remain from the Shapir Shalayim to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the former beauty that the Beis HaMikdash had and now lies in ruins. We'll say through viewing Reb Yochanan, through noticing him, through seeing him, one was reminded of that. Once again, look over there for a more complete explanation. Let's continue in our Gemara. Haiman de boy mechsi shufrei de Reb Yochanan. One who would like to experience, to see the shufrei, literally the beauty, but it refers to, we'll say, the glow, the radiance that was projected by Rabbi Yochanan. What should you do if you want to experience that? Naisi kosa de kaspa mi bei salki. Bring a silver goblet as soon as it is removed from the fire in the, we'll say, silver in silver vessel production. At toward the end of the production stage, it was put in fire and removed from it. Rashi says, "Mi beisilki kishiyotzi mi beis ha'uman shut sahoiv mi mara lahavaish." It has a type of glow, golden radiance to it from the acquired through the flames in which it was. So bring forth this silver goblet as soon as it's removed from the fire. Venimle partsidya drumna sumka, and fill it with rumina rimon, often translated as pomegranate seeds, in this case seeds from a red pomegranate. Venader le klila devarda sumka lefume, and surround the rim of the vessel with a vered is a type of flower, often translated as a rose. In this case, surround it with a red vered. Surround the rim of this vessel filled with the pomegranate seeds. Venosve ben shimsha letula, and then place it literally between the sun and the shade. Hahu zeharue, that the radiance that you notice, ma'ain shufrei de Rabbi Yochanan, gives you a sense, the essence of the radiance projected by Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara asks, you notice we have a long question marking, in asking the question lists a number of very beautiful, attractive, radiant rabbinic figures, and in the list here Rabbi Yochanan doesn't appear, and the question is, well, why? If you just finished describing him as so attractive, so radiant, why is he absent from this list? Now the Gemara, Eini, is that so that Rabbi Yochanan is described as being so radiant? All more. It has been said, Shufrei d'Rav Kahana me'ein Shufrei d'Rabbi Avol. The radiance of Rav Kahana was we'll say a miniature, have the essence of the radiance of Rabbi Yavol. Shufrei de Rabbi Yavol mein shufrei de Yankev Ovinu. Shufrei de Yankev Ovinu mein shufrei de Odom Arishon. Ve'ilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kachashiv lei. And in this list of, we'll say this, this list of ascending radiances, we don't find any reference to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Shiny Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was a bit different. The Hadris Ponim lo Haviole. Rabbi Yochanan did not have a beard. The a beard is described as a man's glory. Rabbi Yochanan didn't have that, so he doesn't figure in the list that the Gemara presented. Rabbi Yochanan have ozil v'yosef asharei tvila. Rabbi Yochanan had a practice of sitting by the gates of mikvois tvila, where women, after experienced their monthly cycle and finally achieved purification, would immerse in the mikveh to complete the purification process, and thereby become available to their husbands, which leads to procreation. Rabbi Yochanan positioned himself there, so that the women coming out of the immersion, leaving the building, would notice him, this very beautiful man, who was also a very great Torah giant. Omar, he calculated, he said, Kisalke b'nei Yisrael mitfilas mitzvah, when the daughters of Israel ascend out, arise, ascend out of the waters of immersion, lifgeru bi, let them meet up with me, kihechi delevu luhu boni, shufri kavasi, gemiria raisa kavasi. So that will, we'll say, influence birth process, the development of the as yet unborn, to be born into someone beautiful like me, and Torah proficient, Torah with Torah scholarship like me. Omru le Rabbonan, the rabbis asked Rabbi Yochanan, lo mistifi mar me'ina bisha, are you not concerned with ayin hora? If you're presenting yourself and positioning yourself as a source of beauty, are you not attracting the effects of the evil eye? Omar lehu, Rav Yochanan responds, Ano mizara di Yosef kasina, I'm a descendant from the tribe of Joseph. De lo shalta be eina bisha, regarding the descendants of Yosef, they are not affected or ruled over by the evil eye. Dichtiv, and we have a number one, because you'll see a second source for this idea. In the meantime, Dichtiv, it says, Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Alei Oyen. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Al Tikri Alei Oyen, Ela Ulei Ayin. The Pasuk, which is a Pasuk featuring the blessing bestowed to Yosef, and Rabbi Avo points out that instead of reading the pasuk Ale Oyen, you would read it Ule Ayin, which for our purposes means that the descendants of Yosef are they ascend above the effects of the eye beneath them, they above them, the eye doesn't have an effect on them. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Omar Mehocha, citing another pasuk, V'yidgu l'roiv b'kerev aretz. This is a pasuk that has that was stated also with regard to the sons of Yosef. Ma dogim shebiyam, the pasuk says, and they will multiply like the fish in the sea. The reference to fish, ma dogim shebiyam, mayim mechasim oisom v'eino ayin sholetes bohem, just like the fish in the sea are covered by the waters, and the eye doesn't see them, doesn't notice them, they're under the surface of the waters. Avzaro sheYosef, so to the seed of Joseph, the descendants of Yosef, ein ho'ayin sholetes bohem. The evil eye has no effect upon them. Hence, Rav Yochanan didn't feel that there would need be any concern on his part of Ayin Hora. Of course, you can easily see from here that someone who doesn't have that, say, insurance of being a descendant of Yosef should concern himself with Ayin Hora and avoid it at all expenses. Avoid being the center of attention, avoid trying to attract people's jealousy or amazement, etc. There is a lot more to speak about regarding the topic of Ayin Hora, but we'll leave that for other sugyas, other sections of the Gemara that deal with it. And now we have a story. You'll notice we have a long marking, a Maisa, concerning Rabbi Yochanan, and on the side we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Maisa de Rabbi Yochanan, Shepogash Reish Lakish Ben Ari Yordain. A story, it's actually a very famous story, where Rabbi Yochanan meets up with Reish Lakish in the Jordan River. The Gemara, Yulachad have a Kasachi Rabbi Yochanan Beyardina. One day, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the Jordan River. Reish Lakish, Chazye Reish Lakish, Chazye means he saw, Reish Lakish saw Rabbi Yochanan, the Shavar, and jumped Liardina Basrei, jumped into the river in pursuit of him. Now, Rashi points out that Reish Lakish, who we know as a great Amoraic figure, a great rabbinic figure from the early Amoraic period, had at a certain point in his life, in his youth, he had not been exactly that. Rather, he was a bandit. He was a thief. And it appears that from Rashi pointing that out over here, that Reish Lakish jumped into the water in pursuit of Rabbi Yochanan for reasons less than the less than a with a positive motivation. Omar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan, seeing Reish Lakish, said, "Chel Chol Araisa, your strength." Apparently, Reish Lakish was a man who demonstrated great physical prowess, and Rabbi Yochanan says, "Your strength is for Torah." Rashi says, "Chel Chol Araisa, Kama Kochacha Yafeh Lisbol Oil Torah." How great is your strength to be able to withstand the yoke of Torah? Torah referred to here will certainly include the realm of Torah study, Torah dedication. For those who have studied Torah with intensity, with diligence and dedication, know very well that it takes a great deal of energy. Imagine an intense, great physical workout, and what does one feel after that? We'll say a sense of maybe energy drain or something of a similar nature, but feels very good that they completed a physical workout. So all the more so with regard to intense Torah study, though it's draining, requiring a great deal of strength, but of course there isn't any greater achievement that a human being could possibly achieve in this world. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, who was a man of physical abilities, your physical strength would be quite suitable for Torah study. Omar Lay, and Reish Lakish said back to Rabbi Yochanan, Shufrech Lenoshi, your beauty is the beauty of women. In other words, you're extraordinarily attractive. Omar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ihadris Boch, Tosis points out that by saying if you come back to Torah indicates that he was once in Torah and left the world of Torah study to pursue other, we'll say, questionable activities. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you come back, so if you notice Tosfos, the fourth Tosfos, E Hadras Boch, just Tosfos says, Mikan Om Rabbi Natan, the Reish Lakish, Mitchilu Yoda Harbe, Elishaporak Ul Toro, Venas Am Oretz, Vosak Balistius. Reish Lakish at one point was actually quite Torah knowledgeable, but he left it, he abandoned it in order to pursue a life of thievery. And Rabbeinu Tam reaches that conclusion, Midikomar Yihadrus Boch Mashma, by saying, if you come back, it implies Lios Kibetchila for the difficult term Elecha. Let's go back to the Gemara, the continuation of the Tosfos, and its understanding will be improved by continuing on in our Gemara itself. But for the time being, we drew from the Tosfos this particular observation that Reish Lakish was a rather a very interesting figure, in the sense that he was Torah educated but left Torah study. And at this point, Rabbi Yochanan meets him, and Rabbi Yochanan says to him, "If you come back, Yahivno loch achosi de Shapiro minoy, I will give you in marriage my sister, who is even more beautiful than I." Well, an offer that's hard to refuse. Kabilolei. So Reish Lakish accepted upon himself. He accepted upon himself to return to Torah study, and knowing, of course, the prize that is awaiting him. Boy lemahader, vasuye monet. At this point, he wanted to, we'll say, swim back to the river banks to put on his clothing. Velo motzi hodar, and he was unable to jump out with the same strength that he was prior to this. What one sees from here is, even without actual Torah study in the simple direct sense, but the mere acceptance of the yoke of Torah upon you already has its effects and drew from Reish Lakish's strength. The story continues. Akre viasne vishavi gavaraba. Rabbi Yochanan taught him the scriptures, the written Torah, the Asne, the oral Torah, and made him into a great man. Yom Echad have a miflegi bei midrasha. One day there was a disagreement in the Torah study hall, in the base medrash. There is a Mishnah, a Tanaic source, Hasayef, Asakin, Vapigyon, Varomach, Umagul Yadu, Magul Kotzir, a list of different metal implements, a sword, a knife, a spear, and other, without engaging in literal translations, these are different metal implements. Me'emosai mekablin tumo. From what point do we consider them as complete vessels with regard to the ability to be, we'll say, subject to defilement? Only items that are classified as vessels are subject to defilement. Things that are in their, let's say, initial raw state, incomplete vessels, are not subject to tumah. So at what point do they become subject to tumah? Mishas kimar malachtan. From the point at which their production is complete. Umeyemosai gemar malachtan. What is that point in the production process? What constitutes the gemar malachtan? What constitutes the completion of their production? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Mishi Yitzrufein Bekivshon. When they're forged in the furnace. Reish Lakish Omar, Mishi Yitzachzichon Bemayim. From the point that they are shined with water. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Lista Belistiyuse Yoda. So now, Rashi says, Listah b'sisa yada lefisha yisa listim, since you were a criminal, a thief, an armed bandit, a listim. You see the term often in the Shas, listim mizuyan, an armed bandit. So since you were engaged in crime, ata boki v'isan klei uminus lisius, you are expert in these vessels. And we mentioned, we translated a couple of them. You can see there what we would call arms, their weapons. So Rabbi Yochanan was, we'll say, conceding to Reish Lakish in this particular argument, basically saying, you would know about these things. Omar Lay, Reish Lakish, in hearing this, was deeply offended. And he says, Umaya Hanesli, all of my return to Torah study, of what benefit was it to me? Hasam Rebbe Koroli, Acha Rabbi Koroli. There, when I was a thief, he was one of the, we'll say, the gang leaders or crime heads. So he was called Rebbe. Rebbe being a leader, literally, we'll say, a rabbi. Was called like the rabbi of the thieves in the sense I was the head thief. And here I'm a great Torah scholar. I'm also called the same thing. So of what benefit was it for me to leave that realm to join this realm when I haven't achieved anything more than I was there? Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan, who had invested so much into Reish Lakish, he says, Ahanoi loch, I have benefited you, Dakravinoch tachas kanfei Hashchina, that I drew you close to be under the wings of the divine presence. I drew you into Yiddishkeit, into a Torah life. How can you possibly compare the life of thievery to a Torah existence? And Rabbi Yochanan was so upset. Cholash daite, Rabbi Yochanan. That's an expression. Cholash daite literally is mind became weak. It means he became very upset with Reish Lakish's reaction. Cholash Reish Lakish. As a result of Rabbi Yochanan becoming so upset, Reish Lakish physically became ill, deathly ill. Asoy achte chobachia, his sister. Remember who she was. This is Rabbi Yochanan's sister, Reish Lakish's wife. She came and cried. Omrele, she said to her brother, Rabbi Yochanan, Asay bishvil bini, do for my son, which essentially would mean pray, do something to save my husband for the sake of my son. Omar la, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, azva yisomecha ani achayet. Without a literal translation, basically he's saying, don't worry about your son who will become an orphan. I, the Almighty, will seek his sustenance. So she says, well, asay bishvil amanusi, do so that I don't have to experience widowhood. Amar la, and he continues with the same pasuk, which says, v'almanoisecha olai tivtochu, and your widows will rely upon me. In other words, it's no great loss if Reish Lakish ends up dying. The children, God will take care of. The widow, God will take care of. Noch nafshei de Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish. And in fact, Reish Lakish died. However, a big turnaround. Vave kometzdaer Rebbe Yochanan basrei tuva. With the absence of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan felt great pain. And Rashi says, four lines from the end, Mitztayer Mischoret. He had regrets. Al Shemiso, that he killed him. Shloya Moitzi Talmud Vosi Kamos. He didn't find any comparable student to match Reish Lakish's caliber. So, Rabbi Yochanan lost his fine study partner, and he had great remorse. Omru Rabbonon, man lezo leisve ledaite. Who will possibly go and put his mind at rest? In other words, they are saying, is there anyone that could possibly replace Reish Lakish? So they came up with the idea, Nezel Reb Elozer ben Pedos, let him go forward to Reb Yochanan de Mechadid in Shmaitze. He's very sharp in his Torah studies. Ozal Yosef Kameh. So Reb Elozer ben Pedos went and sat with, literally sat in front of Reb Yochanan to learn with him. Kol Mil Sedav Omar Reb Yochanan, anything that Reb Yochanan said, Omar Lei. Reb Elozer, Rabbi Pedos, who was expert in primary sources, he would say, Tanya de Messiah Loch, I have a brisa that I know that supports what you're saying. So that for every point that Reb Yochanan would come forth with, Reb Elozer was able to sustain what Reb Yochanan had said by citing a source. Omar, Reb Yochanan said, responded, At kibar lakisha, what you do you purport to be like Reish Lakish? Bar lakisha ki avi amina milsa. With regard to Bar lakisha, it's Reish Lakish or Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Ben Lakish in Aramaic is Bar lakisha. Reish Lakish, that we as we know him, ki have amino milsa. When I would say something, have a makshili esrin varba kushisa umefarikno le esrin varba peruki. He would raise on points that I made 24 questions, and that would, we'll say, force me. That would direct me into offering 24 different responses. Umemelo raf choshmaitza and through that there was increase in Torah study through our deliberations, our debates. So much Torah knowledge became clarified. Fiat amris tanya de mesayeh, and all you have to say is, well, there's a Tanaic source that supports what you're saying. You don't know that what I say. Do you think that I don't know? Says Rabbi Yochanan. Do you think that I don't know that what I say is shapir, means is good, is accurate? In other words, in all due respect, I don't need my observations, my conclusions to be supported by brisa literature. Havakazil v'kara mone. He went forward and tore his clothing, v'kabochi, and cried, v'yomar, and we're referring, of course, to Rabbi Yochanan, and he proclaimed, Eichat bar lakisha, Eichat bar lakisha. Oh, where are you, Reish Lakish? Where are you, bar lakisha? V'havakotzovach adeshav taite minei. And he screamed until he, as we say, he lost it. Rashi says, Nekro mimenu daita v'nishtata. He became insane. Bo rabon rachmi olei v'noch nafshei. And the rabbis prayed for him, for Rabbi Yochanan himself, to die. And that's what happened. Instead of continuing in a state of insanity, it would be better for him to pass away, and that's what happened. Now, in our previous shiur, we had mentioned that what we see here at the top of Omid Beis, we turn to Taf Pei Dalet Omid Beis, is a continuation of what we saw on Taf Pei Gimel Omid Beis with regard to Reb Elozer Rebbe Shimon. And we saw, without reviewing the entire story, if you're a first-time listener or you didn't hear the previous year, so in order to appreciate this, you will have to be familiar with the Gemara from Daf Pei Gimel, Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, that felt that maybe there was still something wrong with his conduct. even though, as we saw on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, there were signs that he was in the right, totally righteous, with regard to his catching of thieves and handing them over to the government, even in situations where it resulted in their execution. Vafilu hachi, the Gemara continues at the top of Pei Dalam Abbeis. This is the second bow tie which we featured already on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. And even so, even though we saw there he put himself to the test to find out if he was righteous, and he passed that, we'll call that the surgical test, if you remember. Even with that, Lo Somach Rav Elazar ben Shimon Adaita, he still didn't feel a sense of internal peace of mind, internal security. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe I caught as a thief, or presented as a thief, someone who really was righteous. Rashi at the top line says, Lo Somach Daite Ahochi Milavakesh Rachamim Mechila Biyisurin. He, Rav Elazar, didn't rely on what we had seen already back on Pei Gimel Beis to suffice in establishing his own righteousness, and hence felt it necessary to seek heavenly mercy through heavenly mercy and forgiveness through Yisurin, through accepting suffering. Maybe he sinned by handing over someone who was in fact righteous. So he needed to achieve a sense of internal peace of mind, achieving total expiation, and Kobel Ale Isur, he accepted upon himself, as the Gemara says here on the second line from the top, suffering. And we know through different sources in Jewish literature that through suffering that has the ability of cleansing one from sinful behavior. But urta have a maichi le shisin nimti. Now upon accepting suffering, you'll see from the context of the Gemara, the suffering is in the form of physical affliction, boils, pus that develops on his body, something very painful. And in the evening, beurta, in the evening when one goes to sleep, when one goes into the bed, havu maichi le shisin nimti, they would place underneath him, fold underneath him, 60 shisin, 60 nimti. Nimti is reference to material. Rashi speaks in terms of leved, which sometimes is translated as felt. So 60, we'll call it 60 layers of a felt cloth placed under him to absorb the pus that was oozing out of his body. Letzafra, in the morning, Nagdi mitusei shisin mishichli doma v'kiva. They drew from under him 60 bowls full of blood and pus. We've mentioned before, and mention again, when you see numbers, especially large numbers that seem to be exaggerated, the first purpose of them is to show that something was of a significant dimension or magnitude. There are additional levels of understanding, but you have to research them in the appropriate Torah works that expand upon these numbers. But as we said, for our purposes, we're going to continue with the translation level of understanding. Lamachar avda le divisu, the next day, his wife, Rav Elazar Shimon's wife, made from shisin mine lifta, 60 different kinds of dishes made from figs. The diamond that you see here and we saw before highlights the repeating appearance of the number 60. And in this story, you can see if you follow down the next few lines, you see a number of diamonds, each one highlighting Shishin, 60. So the next day, after having spent a night of suffering, as we just described, she would prepare for him these dishes. V'ochel lehu, he would eat them, ubori, and gain strength. However, his wife would not allow him, would not enable him or allow him to leave the house to the base medrash. He would enter the base medrash, so he would be pressured by the rabbis with needing to answer their questions and analysis, etc. His wife was concerned with his physical well-being. He needs the rest. Ba'urta Omar Lahu, in the evening, once again, he said to his pains, he said, Achai ve're'ai bo, my brothers and my friends, a reference to the Yisurin, come, inviting the Yisurin to come and afflict him. But Safra Amalu, in the morning, he would say, Zilu, Mitnei Bitul Torah, you've got to go now, because in this state, I can't learn Torah. So as to prevent Bitul Torah, he would tell the Yisurin to depart. Yumachad Shoma Devisu. One day, his wife heard this, that he actually brought upon himself the Yisurin. Omra lay, she said to him, she reacted, At kamaisis lui luvach, are you bringing upon yourself these Yisurin? Kalis momon shel beis abba, you're finishing off the wealth, the money that I brought into our marriage, the money that I brought in, the dowry or the marriage money that I brought in, you're finishing it off by all of these incurred expenses for food and clothing replacement. She was so upset, Imrida, she rebelled, which means she, though she's married, she left him. Ozla beis nosha, she went to her father's house. Sliku viosu, and at that point, so you might pause and think, wow, if she left, and who's going to take care of him? How's he going to manage? No fear. Sliku v'asu hanachshisin sapunoi. There arose and arrived 60 sea merchants. Sapunoi are people that, from the word sfina. Sfina is a boat. So we'll refer to them as 60 sea merchants arrived. Ailu le shisin avdi. And they brought to him 60 slaves. Ki nikiti shisin arniki, while holding 60 pouches or wallets full of money. The avdule shisin mine liftov yochelhu, and they prepared for him 60 different kinds of liftov. We had this on the first wide line of the Gemara, where his wife was preparing these different dishes. The ochelu, and he ate them. Let us take a look at Rashi. Aili le shisin avdi. Just a couple lines up from here in the Rashi. These sea merchants bringing these slaves. Lefisha omar aleim nashil shiyam. They had been threatened by the tide at sea, or a wave at sea threatening capsizing their boat. They prayed to be spared from that wave in the merit of this man, of Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, and they were saved in his merit. And when they came out of the water, when they came forth from the sea, after escaping imminent danger, they went to him to bring him a gift. And that's how they appear in this story. We turn back to the Gemara. Yom Echad, one day, Omra Lo Labarta, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's wife says to her daughter, Zili Boki Bavuch Mai Ka'ovidu Idna. Go, Boki is, check out your father. What is he doing now? Asya, she came. Omar Lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says to his daughter, Zili Amri Li'imoch, go tell your mother, Shelanu Godol Mishelahem. Our wealth, meaning the wealth that he just achieved, is greater than that which your mother brought from her household, from her father's house. Kori Anafshay, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon referred to himself, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Now, the Pasuk in Mishlei is a reference. Many of you might be familiar with the passage that we call the referred to as the Eishes Chayil in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs. There is a Pasuk that says, Hoiso kani yosecher mimerchak tovi lachmo. That section is a parable or an analogy to Torah. And Torah is described as it is like merchant boats that from afar bring forth bread, sustenance. So that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon basically is saying, okay, you left me thinking that maybe that would change my ways. Not so. My Torah study is my source of support. Through Torah study, the Almighty takes care of those that are truly dedicated and submit themselves to the pursuit of Torah knowledge. Ochal v'shasi ubori. Now, once again, his wife wasn't there. Well, he ate and drank and regained strength. Nofak lebei medrasha. Since his wife is not there, he allowed himself to go to the base medrash. Aisu lekame shisin mine doma. Well, once in the base medrash, and as a great rabbinic decisor, there was presented to him 60 mine doma, 60 different types of dam. Dam is a reference to menstrual blood, dam nida, to establish whether or not these different blood samples that would appear as a result of women checking themselves out with white checking cloths to decide whether or not the dam that they are experiencing is dam that results in their being impure, defiled, and prohibited to their husbands or not. But there are different body secretions whose color may somewhat resemble blood, but on the other hand, it's not really menstrual blood. And that situation requires, a rabbinic decision based on traditions that various rabbis had in establishing what is dam nida, hence prohibiting the woman from her husband, and what is not. So 60 different samples were brought to him, Tarinu, and he declared them all to be Tahar, meaning non-defiling. And as a result, Tarinu, Rashi says, Lizokik lebalein below tvila, that they can go to their husbands, be in intimacy with their husbands without any need for immersion, because that which he saw, he decided was not of a defiling nature. Now, to experience something like this, namely 60 different, blood stains or samples, and having them all declared to be of a non-defiling nature, is somewhat amazing. Have a kameranini rabbonon. The rabbi started to cast doubts. Fi Amri, and said, Salte Daitoch Le Behu Chad Sofek. could it possibly be? So let me read that again. Salka daitoch less behu chad safek. Could it possibly occur to you that there isn't even one that is doubtful? How can you possibly allow 60 different possibly? We'll see from the context that this represented questions raised by 60 different women. What, and they're all definitely Torah? There's definitely no defilement here. Nothing that's doubtful. Omar Lahu. So he said to the rabbis, Im Kamosi Hu, if it's like my ruling that they're all actually undefiled, you kulam zechorim, let all the children born from these women be males. V'im lav, if I'm not right, Tehe Nekeva Achaz Benem, let there be one girl, one female be born from these women. And what happened? Hayu kulam zechorim. All the children that were born from his decisions were all male. Fasikulu, and they named them Reb Elazar al Shmei. In honor of him, these children, all these boys, were named Reb Elazar. Tanya, Omar Rebbe, Kamo Piri Viribio Bitlo Risha Zu Misrael. First of all, translate. Rebbe, who was a contemporary, we'll see in our Mirza Shem, in our next shir, and a little bit later in today's shir, more about Rebbe himself. Rebbe, seeing this, said, how much period of Rebbe, how much reproduction bitla was canceled, was voided, was stopped by Rishazu, this wicked one that prevented procreation from the Jewish people because of this wicked one. Who is Rebbe referring to in saying Rishazu? So Rashi says a few lines down from here, Rishazu, Malchus HaRasha, the Roman Empire, Shemin Tohu Toifes Ganovim, V'lo Bo Lebeis HaMedrash Tomid Laharis Loi Anoshim Es Doman. They had appointed him, very likely they had compelled him to be engaged in police work, in catching thieves, and as such he couldn't be in the Beis Medrash on a constant permanent basis, thereby depriving many women from being able to show him their blood stains. And we saw here that because of his expertise in this, he was able to determine as being undefiled many cases that others might have actually defiled. And as a result, many fewer children were born. And Rebbe attributes that to the Romans that had insisted on his being engaged with police work. There's another Lashon printed in Rashi, but the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, is not Goreis it, suggesting this alternative pshat, saying that Rishazu was a reference to his wife that prevented him from going to the Beis Medrash during his time, during the period of his Yisurim, of his suffering. Nevertheless, the Gra doesn't feel that that is to be part of the Rashi commentary. We continue in the Gemara. Kihavaka Nicho Nafshei, when he was about to die, Omar Lo Lidvisu, Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon tells his wife, apparently she comes back on the scene, so to speak, and he tells her, Yodana b'durabonon d'resichi olai v'lomaski b'shapir. I know that the rabbis are angry with me. And Rashi adds something that's fascinating. Rashi says, the resichi olai, they're angry with me, al shel nilkochen ganovim al yodi, v'hayu lehem krovim, that I was responsible for catching thieves, and they, the rabbis, had amongst these thieves relatives. So the rabbis were upset that their relatives, who were caught by me as thieves, would not treat me with the proper respect in my burial. So he was anticipating that after his death, he wouldn't be treated in a dignified way. And therefore, what does he say to his wife? Ognin be'ilisoi velo titchilin minoi. Have my body lie in the attic, the second story upstairs, and don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of that. So what's he saying basically? He's saying, keep me in the house, don't have me taken away for burial, and don't worry. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni was an Amora. So historically, Rav Elazar ben Shimon was a generation or two prior to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni was from the early generation of Amoraim, and the following takes place. Rav Shmuel tells us, Ishtayo li imei de Rebbe Yoinasan. It was told to me by the mother of Rebbe Yoinasan. Now, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, we find throughout the Shas, quotes Rebbe Yoinasan. So Rebbe Yoinasan represents a generation above Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. And now we're making reference to Rabbi Yonasan's mother. So it's two generations above Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. She told me, the Shtayol Lo, the Visu, the Rabbi Elazar Shimon, she was told by the wife of Rabbi Elazar Shimon the following. Now, here we have a long marking. So all of these lines are what the wife of Rabbi Elazar Shimon communicated, and we hear it through Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. What did his wife, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's wife, say? Lo pochos mitam nisori, velo tfei mi'esrin vitrein shonin, not less than 18 years, not more than 22 years, ognise bilisa. He lay in that attic. Well, literally, I laid him down in the attic. Kihava salikno, when I would go up there, ma'ainino lay b'mazie, I would look at his hair. Kihava mishtamta binisa, when a hair would fall out of his head. And again, don't forget, we're dealing with him after his death, and he's lying there in that state for so many years. When a hair would fall out, that's kimishtamtos, to fall out, binisa, a hair, mine from him, have asidoma, there would be a blood flow. A drop of blood would appear. Yumochad, chazoi, richasha de konofik meune. One day, says the wife of Rabbi Shimon, I noticed a worm coming forth from his ear. Cholashtatoi, I felt upset that maybe now he's going to start the decomposition, the rotting process, which is characterized by worms. Ischazi li b'chalmo, he appeared to me in a dream, Omerli, and he said to me, Lo midihu, it's nothing, you don't have to worry about that worm, it's not a sign of my imminent decomposition. So what is it? Yumachad, one day, Shami, he says to her in the dream, I heard b'zilusa d'tzum rabbonon, I heard a Torah scholar being insulted, being ridiculed. Zilusa, from the word zol, zol is being cheapened, being ridiculed. And I didn't protest as much as I could have. From this, you see that whatever had transpired in his life regarding this incident of his hearing the disparagement of a Talmud Chacham, he did protest. But he didn't protest as much as he could have. And as, we'll say, as punishment for that, so the worm emerges from his ear. Kiyava osu betray ledina, when two litigants would come needing to be judged, havu kaimi abova, they would stand by the door, omar mor milse, each litigant would present his case, nofik kola milise, a voice would come from the attic, Viomar, and he would say, this is, of course, Rav Elazar ben Shimon in his state of being, would say, Ish ploniata chayav, Ish ploniata zakai, you so-and-so are guilty, and you so-and-so are innocent or exempt. So he would be ruling on cases while lying there in his attic. Yumochad have common so devisu bahadi. Now let me point out that with that we ended the story that Rabbi Elazar Shimon's wife had told. However, the story continues without her speaking. Yumochad one day have a kominsia devisu bahadi shivivasa. One day his wife, meaning Rabbi Elazar Shimon's wife, was arguing with a neighbor. Omra la, the neighbor woman said, Tehei kebaala shalomitan lekvura. This neighbor was all upset and cursed and said that she should be like her husband that was never buried. Amri rabbonon. The rabbis hearing of this said, Kulei hai vanei lav aruch aro. So much to this extent that his lying there without burial is now the source of disparagement. That is not orach hara. It's not derech eretz. It's not proper. Iko diamri, another version. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is chazoi lehu b'chalmo. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, or called Rashbi, he was the father of Rebbe Elazar. What was his name? Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. He, the great Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, appeared to the rabbis in a dream. Amar lo, and he said, we have a double underline to highlight the fact that this expression will appear again later. Preda achas yeshli beinechem. Preda is a reference to a little bird. He's referring, it's an expression of, we'll say, endearment. He's referring to, of course, his son. I have my little bird amongst you. V'yatem reitzim lo v'yoli, and you don't want to bring it to me. You don't want to bury him and enable his soul to come to be with me. You see from here, though this is a topic beyond the realm of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, but without burial, so there's a level of restriction upon the soul to get to its ultimate destination. So Rabbi Shimon is communicating to the rabbis in a dream that you're not allowing my son to come to me. Also, Rabbanu Sigbe, the rabbis came to deal with him to bury him. Lo shafku b'nei Achbaraya, the people of that town, Achbaraya, I would assume from the Gemara that Rashi says, Abar Shem Mokom Shesomuch Liro. It's the name of a place that was near where Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was located, and they were not going to let the rabbis take away the body for burial. Why not? The Chalshoni Davinayim Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Balise, all the years that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was lying, was sleeping in his attic, Lo Solik Chayarol Masayu. No evil animals, no bad animals or vicious animals entered their town. He was a source of protection for them. Well, what are you going to do now if they're not going to let the rabbis bury him? Yumachad male Yom Kippur Havik. There was one day, it happened to be Erev Yom Kippur, Havu Tridi. Erev Yom Kippur, people are engaged in eating, getting ready for Yom Kippur, so they're focused on other activities. Shadru Rabbanan Lebnei Biri. Bnei Biri is a name of a village that was in that vicinity, and there are a couple different explanations. What was unique to them? We mentioned that it's a town that's close by. In the Bach, there are a couple of different explanations. One, you know, the Krovov is that they were his relatives, and another version is they were people that were grave diggers, people that took care of burials. So the Rabbonin sent to Bnei Biri, Viasku Le Arse. They then took his his arse, his literally his bed or the stretcher. V'amtiu lemarto davuane. They brought him to the cave in which his father Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was buried. Ashichu la'achno da'hadro lo lemarto. They encountered an achno, a serpent, a snake that was coiled, holding its tail in its mouth, is characteristic of snakes, that blocked the entrance to the cave. Omru lo, so the Bnei Biri said to the serpent, Achno, achno, pischi pich v'kones ben etzeloviv. Open your mouth, releasing your tail, thereby enabling a passage from outside the cave to form, enabling them to enter, so that the son can be brought to his father. Posachlu, and the serpent, with their request, cooperated and opened up. Sholach Rebbe Ledaber Bishto. Rebbe sent forth a marriage proposal to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon's wife. Rebbe, the great Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the editor of the Mishnayos, he sent an offer of marriage to marry the widow. Sholcholei, and she sends back. Kli shenishtamish boi kodesh, yishtamish bo choil, a vessel, referring to her husband, she sends kli shenishtamish bo kodesh, a vessel, referring to herself, that was used by the holy. Her husband, she calls holy, shall now be used by chol, by the mundane, meaning you, Rebbe, relative to my husband, you're like a commoner next to that which is holy. Tamon Amri, there in Eretz Yisrael, they give the following analogy for something that will say an analogy to this situation. The following Aramaic analogy. Ba'asim ori beisa tola zayne kubaraya kulse tola. In the spot that the more, Rashi refers to it as the warrior, the peg or the hook upon which the warrior used to hang his weapons, the lowly shepherd is now going to hang his bag. Rebbe, upon hearing her reaction, says Sholach Lo, he sends back to her, Nihide b'Torah gadol mi. Many granted that in Torah scholarship he was greater than me. Avol b'maisim toivim mi gadol mi many. In piety, in proper conduct, in good deeds, is he greater than me? Sholcha le, she sends back b'Torah mi gadol mimcha lo yodana. That he's greater than you in Torah learning, that I don't know. B'maisim yodano, but regarding maisim, regarding behavior and conduct, that I know. D'ha kovel olei yisuri, he accepted upon himself suffering. B'Torah mahi, the reference to Torah that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is portrayed as greater than Rebbe, in what sense? Where do we see that? So here we have a long response taking us to the bottom line of the Gemara. The Chiyavu Yasfi Rabbonim Shimon ben Gamliel Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcho of Safsali, when these great rabbis were sitting on benches and there were a lot of other rabbis amongst them, these are leadership figures, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel and Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcho. Yasfi Kamaya Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Aara. These figures, Rebbe Elazar, Shimon, and Rebbe, sat on the floor. We should point out that Rebbe was the son of Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel that we just mentioned. They were seated on the ground. Makshu, Mefarku, questions were raised, and they would answer questions. Amri, the rabbis that were seated on safsali, on benches, on proper seats, they said, seeing this, Meimei Emanu Shosim, we drink their waters, we benefit from their scholarship. Vehem yoshvim al gabi karka, and they are sitting on the floor. Avdulu safsli, they made for them, for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi, benches, askinu, and they raised them up to sit on proper seats. Omar lahan, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The father of Rabbi says, in seeing that they're bestowing honor to his son, he gets a little worried. He says, Predo achas yeshli beinechem. I have one predo. We said before, a bird, my son amongst you. Ve'atem evakshim la'abdo mimeni, and you want to destroy him. You want to make me lose him through ayin hara, through the evil eye. When everyone sees how much respect and glory he is experiencing, that's going to lead to his own destruction through the ayin hara. We made reference to that earlier. Achtu le Rebbe. So they lowered him. They put him back on the ground. Self-preservation. Omar lahen Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcha. Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcha, who was the contemporary of Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father, said, well, I see how you're protecting your son. Mishi yesh lo av yichyeh. Someone who has a father will live. You're taking care of him. You're protecting him. What about the other one? Rebbe Elazar, referring to Rebbe Elazar Mishimon, Umisha ein lo av yomus. At this point, Rebbe Shimon Choy was no longer alive. So he, Rebbe Elazar, didn't have a father to protect him. Achtu nami le Rebbe Elazar Mishimon. So they lowered him down onto the ground as well. Cholash daiti, but he was upset. Omar, he reacted. Rebbe Shimon reacted. Kochashvisu le kavasi. Are you paralleling him to me, referring to Rebbe? In other words, Rebbe Elazar Shimon perceived that he was a greater scholar than Rebbe, and yet he's being treated in the same fashion, on the same plane. Adahu Yuma, until that day. Ki hava omar Rebbe Milsa, when Rebbe would say something, hava messiah le Rebbe Elazar Shimon. Rebbe Elazar Shimon would support what Rebbe would say. Mikan v'elech, but from that point onwards, ki hava omar Rebbe Yeshli Lahashiv, when Rebbe would say, in response to a question or an issue raised, I have an answer, I have something to say. Amale, Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, in an offhanded way, in a disparaging way maybe, say, Kach v'kach yeshlecha Lahashiv. Such and such is what you are going to offer as a response. Zui tshuvasech. This is what can be said back to what you are trying to answer. Hashta hikifsanu tshuvos chavilos shein ben mamish. What you're trying to answer are like bundles or packages that have nothing in them. What you see here, and this is essentially, you see a little also an arrow on the side of the Gemara text, you can align with the arrow above. This is the demonstration that Rebbe Elazar Shimon was greater than Rebbe in learning. That whatever Rebbe would be able to answer, Rebbe Shimon would be able to reject. Cholash daite de Rebbe. Rebbe felt bad. Also, Amalei Lavua, he came and told this to his father, to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Rabbi, his son, Bini, my son, Al Yera Loch. Don't feel bad. Shehu Ari ben Ari, he is a lion, the son of a lion, meaning a reference to Rabbi Shimon Achoy. Vato Ari, you're also great. You're a lion, however, Ben Shual, you're the son of a fox. Referring to himself, putting himself down. V'hainu d'yoma Rebbe, and it's with this in mind that Rebbe says, Shloisha and v'sonin hein, there were three famous or great people of humility. And v'elohin, they are the following. Number one, Abba, my father, he referring to himself as a shua, as a mere fox. Continuing at the top of Daf Pehe, Uvnei Besera, Uvyonison ben Shaul. Amir Hashem, in our next shir, we will go over these figures and see what the Gemara has to say regarding their anova, their humility. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.